Morning. Good to see everyone. What did you say? Oh, my fashion instructor spoke. Good to see everyone out. Appreciate everyone coming this morning. I know we've got a lot sick. I have had a lot of people tell me their family members are sick this morning. So begin to start to pray for those. I know there's all the sickness stuff going around, the colds and different things. And so just ask you to remember them when you pray today. Remember the families in our community that's lost loved ones. We've got so many I'm not going to even start. I do have one special prayer request. I want you to remember the young girl from Ramburn that's, I think she's 26. She is in a bad need of our prayers. Of course, the Lord knows all about it, but last night she'd gotten pretty low. She's been on a vent in Atlanta. So y'all continue to pray. I'm not sure what the whole issues are. I know it's something with her lungs. So I ask you to remember her. And continue to remember our church. Remember each other. We, of course, excited about what the Lord's doing in our church. We've seen some souls come to know Him in the last several weeks, so appreciate that. And I know that we tend to let, when our people's sick or people's out, different things, we let it affect how we worship. But let's don't do that this morning. Let's spend this time worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And we talked about in our Sunday school class what a wonderful blessing it is to have prayer. We learned about it's direct access to an almighty, holy God who can act on our behalf. We have we take it for granted, but we've been given an opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known. In the Old Testament times, they couldn't do that. They had to go through a high priest. He had to go in and atone for their sins and make their request known. But now, since the day of crucifixion, we know the veil of the temple ripped in twain from the top to the bottom and give ordinary people that saved by grace the opportunity to come boldly before the throne of God. And sadly to say, we don't use that nearly enough. We take it for granted. We don't make our request known. So 2019 is still brand new. Let's make it a devotion of ours to pray more this year, to pray for not only our families and our lost communities, but pray for each member of our church. When it's important that we lift each other up. I've heard the old saying that I need the prayer and you need the practice. So I definitely stand in need of your prayer, and I know we all do today. So let's pray earnestly for our church in 2019. Continue and ask that God would use us in a mighty way. Do we have any prayer requests that I didn't mention? Anybody have anything?
Jackie's having some more tests done this week, so.
Amen. Remember him. Also remember, I forgot this one, Miss Avondale is in a nursing home. She broke her arm right around Christmas, and they had to send her to Cleveland County Nursing Home for rehabilitation, so she's in the middle of that right now. So y'all, can you remember her? If you get a chance, stop by and see her. She'll be there until sometime next week, and she'll get to go home then, she thinks. So continue to remember her. Any others? Remember our singers this morning, because they're going to be few. A lot of our singers are out sick, so we just do what we can and praise the Lord the best way we know how. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for this great opportunity to come pray, God, to come to you and ask you to bless us this morning. God, we ask you to touch each heart that's here. Father, I ask if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they will before they leave this place. And God, we ask you to touch this service this morning, God, to touch each heart that's here. Lord, we pray that something that's said through song, through the message, or God, just through something that's done, that the hearts will be drawn to you. Lord, we pray for the prayer request that's been made known this morning, the many sick we have in our church. God, we ask you, heal them back their much-wanted health, if it be your will. And God, we ask you to reach out to this community through us. God, let us be a small part of what you do. And Lord, we know that it's not for our righteousness, but it's for your glory. God, that we desire to reach out to this community and make New Harmony Baptist Church what it should be for you. God, we ask you to touch us this upcoming year. Make it a great year for us, God, and ask you to keep all of our congregation, our families healthy. God, keep us safe as we travel as a church and do different things together. And that, God, that everything we do be to honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you. a river of gladness. It pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Let's welcome everyone.
same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains,
amen. I'd like to welcome each one again and say what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Another thing we take for granted is getting to come out to his house and worship him in spirit and in truth. And somebody used to have a t-shirt, I don't know where I used to see it at all the time, that was talking about the Bible, but Christianity, in fact, is illegal in a lot of countries. And it's not illegal in ours yet, so thank God we can still come this morning and worship him in spirit and in truth. And I pray this morning that's what you're here for. No other reason than to worship him and spend some time with him and his people. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be around God's people than I would anybody. I've been around a bunch of different people in my life, and I've never enjoyed being around the people as I do being around God's people. I remember when we first got in church, me and Stephanie, I caught myself almost having to make myself go to family functions because I so desired to be around the people of God and the church family, and I think that's right with the Lord. I think he desires that we do that. So I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you saw fit to spend just a little bit of time with us. And if you're new here or visiting, we'd like to welcome you and ask you to come back and be with us. We'd love to have you. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'll let you be turned over to John chapter number 6. John chapter 6. For the past several weeks, however you want to look at it, the Lord has been dealing with me about preaching about different things of giving him, of what we've got and what he's blessed us with, what he's required of us. And it didn't change today. I wound up preaching a little group of sermons about it. I never even planned that you could put it in a series if you wanted to and probably preach it for about a month. But didn't plan that. Y'all always know I try to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart, and this morning is no different. And John chapter 6 is a very familiar verses about the young lad who had the five loaves and the two fishes. And I know that I got to thinking about, we never know this guy's name. All we ever hear him called in the Bible is a lad, a young boy. A young man's all we ever hear him called. We don't know his name. We will never know his name. And the Bible didn't see, God didn't see it fit that we know his name. And I begin thinking about us today. Each one of us here, what the title of the message is give him what you have. Each one of us have something to give to the Lord, but we live in a time where we've been taught for some way or somehow, and it's through social media and different outlets, that our name is supposed to be great, or we're supposed to have a bunch of followers or whatever it is. We base everything about how many people. I don't, because nobody follows me as far as I know, but these kids, they base all their popularity on how many people likes their stuff on Facebook or follows it on Instagram or Twitter or whatever all that stuff is. They're basing everything on what people think of them that way. But I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't really matter what people think. It doesn't matter if anybody knows your name. What matters is what you have. Will you give it back to God? Will you give what you have back to God? You see, the first sermon we preached, and I didn't plan it to go this way, it was on the talents that God has blessed all of us with. I know it was talking about monetary here, but application-wise, we applied it to us as God having given us talents for Him. He gave some of us fivefold, He gave some twofold, and He gave some onefold. Everybody's not got the same amount of talents for God. And then we preached about last week about answering the call. He's put a call on each one of our lives, whether it's not be a may not be a pastor or a preacher, but He's put a call on your life to be used for Him. He saved you for a purpose. He called you out for a purpose, not to sit on a bench and take up space, but He saved you for a purpose, and that's your purpose has got to be made known if you're going to be effective for the kingdom of God. And then today we come to the message of give Him what you have. And the bottom line of the whole thing is, again, like it's been for the last 3 weeks, you don't have what I have, I don't have what you have, but bless God, we all have something. We all have something. And in John chapter number 6, verse number 1 through 12, if you would stand your feet for just a few minutes, the reading of God's Word. But like I said, you're going to remember this, very, very familiar verses. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company coming to Him. He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Father, we thank You today for these verses. God, we thank You for Your words. God, we thank You this morning that You give us the help to come out and give us the ability to preach and to speak. And God, that You give us the want to do this thing. And God, we ask You to let us take our hearts and minds off of everything for just a few minutes and put them on You. And God, I pray that through this preaching, God, through this Word of God, it's not anything I say, but through Your Word, that You will touch hearts and You will touch lives. And maybe, God, today, that someone will be encouraged to give You what they have. And Lord, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, and as they started this, you have to turn back to us. And by the way, this is one of the only stories in the Bible, or in the Gospels, that all four Gospels mention it. So you know what that tells me? It's very important. It's important that we understand what happened here with this young lad. You see, his name, again, we never know. But in four Gospels, it is mentioned about his lunch that he gave. I don't even know if the word lad is mentioned in all four Gospels. I didn't search that out, but I know his lunch is mentioned, of the five loaves and the two fishes, is mentioned everywhere. And I began thinking about my ministry and your ministry here at New Harmony Baptist Church. In 2,000 years, they probably won't know who Chad Morgan is. If God allows time to go on, they probably won't know Terry McElroy. They probably won't know any of y'all back there. They may know Jonathan Adams because he owned the pool store. They may know him for a while. And Rudy Rooks being the mayor of Heflin, surely they'll know him in 2,000 years. But my name, they'll probably never know. And you can go back and you can think about famous pastors or preachers throughout the years, and you don't know much about them. But listen, the ministry of those who wasn't known is here today. You realize today, you're here today probably because somebody preached and your grandmother got saved. Somebody preached and your grandfather got saved. Or somebody preached and your dad got saved. Dad began praying for you, and the Spirit of God began drawing your heart. And one day you come to the Lord. And then your children, what happened? You begin praying for them. And the thing goes on and on, you see. We may never know your name. God may never let your name be known in 1,000 years. But bless God, maybe your ministry, such as this young lad's, will continue forever. What a blessing that was, this young lad. But listen, I want you to see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, how this thing must start. You see, if you are to give God what you have, it must start with compassion. It must start with a love for people. And folks, this morning we've got a bunch sick, so maybe they'll record this and hear this. But I search all the time trying to find out why is churches not growing like they did in the 70s? Why are they not effective as they are? Why can we not preach and people be saved? And why we cannot ask people to come to church and they won't come? And why is all these things happening that we see happening? And the one thing I always come back to is I think as a group of God's people, we have lost our love for people. We've lost our compassion for people. We've lost the compassion for those lost souls. And we have no care about them. And down in our heart of hearts, we really don't care what happens to them. And I want you to understand this morning, not my words, but according to the Word of God, if a lost soul leaves this walks of life without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to their heart and life, they will spend eternity in a place called hell. And y'all, if you study about hell, and by the way, it's way more in the Scriptures than heaven is. And if you study this out, you'll find out that hell, the worst part about it is not the fire. The worst part about it is not the darkness. The worst part about hell is eternal separation from God. And that's what it is for eternity. And listen, it ought to break my heart to see one soul leave this walks of life without Jesus. And I know what we begin thinking here. Well, preacher, there's so many in our world that don't believe in Jesus. There's so many that's not going to believe in Jesus. What in the world are you even doing preaching and spitting and stammering this morning? You're not going to make any difference. Hey, this lad here, he didn't see how he can make a difference either. But bless God, I believe he had enough compassion that he offered his lunch. And listen, church, that's what we got to get to today is, listen, there ain't much I'll probably never be able to preach. And by the way, I'll tell you this, and it's not something I'm proud of, but for some reason, God's never chose to use my preaching to save thousands. He just hasn't done it. I've saw probably not very few come through preaching. I don't know what seeds has been planted. But listen, all I can do is give God my lunch and let Him use what He can. And that's what I ask you to do today. In 2019, coming up, I believe God has sent these messages for New Harmony Baptist Church to tell you, you may not be many people. You may not be that. I know you ain't got that great a pastor. We got pretty good deacons, and we got some real good teachers, and we got some pretty people in here. But bless God, maybe He will use us just a little bit if we'll give Him all we have. Give Him all we have. It starts with compassion. Jesus saw the great multitude, it says here, and He has moved with compassion on them. He said, if you read on down in Matthew, it's the same story just about, but He says that they needed to be fed because if they went without eating, they would be faint, they would fall out, they couldn't go on. And Jesus had a compassion for people. How about you this morning? Do you honestly care about your neighbor? If you do, when's the last time you invited them to church? When's the last time you helped them anytime? When's the last time you spent some time invested in them? When's the last time you cared enough to say, hey, I'm here if you need me? Do you remember what neighbors used to be? I do, and I'm young. Some of y'all here is older than me, and I'm not picking on nobody this morning. I'm just preaching. I'm young, but I remember when our neighbors was there. Bless God, we had some neighbors where I lived. They wasn't very godly, but they was neighborly. I remember coming home from a date one time about 12 o'clock in the morning, and I parked my truck and I heard something running. And I looked out in the yard. My neighbor was cutting my mom and daddy's grass, drunker than Cooter Brown. But he was doing a good work. He thought he was doing my mom and daddy a favor, and he wound up turning the lawnmower over, and I had to help him. But anyway, he thought he was doing my mother and daddy a favor. And this man would do these things like this all the time. Even people that wasn't godly would be there for their neighbors. And it seems that you and I become so busy that we don't even know our neighbor. There can be people that live right beside us. And you say, who lives there? I don't know. Listen, I remember a time that even where I live in a small place in Muscadine, I could tell you every person that lived on that road. When me and Stephanie started dating, we'd got driving down the road, I'd say, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. And she'd say, how in the world do you know all these people? She grew up in a big town in Carrollton, or actually Clem. She'd been in Alabama, they called it Klein. Anyway, I'll go on. But listen, we've lost compassion. And it says that Jesus had compassion on these people. And I began thinking about this. Why do you think that young boy gave his lunch? I believe he was right there with the Lord and he saw the compassion that Jesus had. I believe he learned compassion at this moment from Jesus. I believe he said, this man named Jesus cares enough to feed these people, and I don't have enough money to feed these people. I don't have enough of this to feed these people. I don't have enough of that to feed these people. But let me tell you what I do have. Here's my lunch, God. See what you can do with it. Boy, wouldn't you love to have been there that day. And when that little fellow said, I don't have nothing to give, and he held up a little brown bag, probably. I know it wasn't that in that day. But listen, let's just think about it that way. He held up his little lunch bag and said, God, here it is. See what you can do with it. And boy, what a great blessing come out of that little boy's lunch. And listen, that whole thing started from compassion. Listen, church, if you're going to see what can happen with your little bit, it must start with a love for people. That's what the whole Bible's about, is love for people. It's about God sending the best he had for you. Hey, God had compassion on you, and he sought to give you his son Jesus. And so why in the world do we not care enough about people to give them Jesus? You know why? I'll tell you. Because our society has burned into our minds that it's all about number one. You look after yourself because nobody else cares about you. That's what we're taught. We're taught to look after ourselves because that's all that matters. Hey, you just take care of number one, and that's all you can do. And even in churches, we've got to the point, there's an old saying, we care about our four no more. Most families have four people in them, some more, some less. We care about our four no more. My sons and daughters are saved. I tell you what, I'm done. My sons and daughters saved, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to sit on this bench. My children are grown. They out of the house. I tell you what I can do. Now I can rest. No longer do I need to tell people about the Lord. I don't need to get young people to church. I don't care about this. I'm going to sit right here and I'm just going to be content to ride this thing on out. Sitting in the house of God. I'll come hear the preacher one time a week. Or if I feel good, I may come twice a week. But don't ask me to get involved because I have nothing to offer. Oh, really? I bet you have enough, as much as this little boy had. I bet you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It all started with compassion. This is written down by Theodore Roosevelt. We live in a time where we're bombarded with knowledge. We go to school for everything. And I'm not against it. I'm in Bible college right now. But we go to school for every single thing there is. And you know what it's led to? We have nobody to work normal jobs. When I say normal jobs, I'm talking about mechanics. I'm talking about garbage people. I'm talking about waterworks we people or whatever you want to put there. We've gotten so advanced and got to learn so much. We don't have that. We think we know more than everybody in the world. We have doctorates in this. We have doctorates in that. We have all kind of things you can do. And listen, again, don't leave here saying the pastor said that school is wrong and education is wrong, because it's not. I'm in college. Stephanie's in college. Amberly's been in college. Blake's in the whole bunch because he's been to school. But listen, we think we know everything. And we think we've become too advanced to help people. And we've become too big to do the small things that people need. Theodore Roosevelt said, people don't care about how much you know until they see how much you care. They don't care what you know. They don't care that you can preach all the Gospels without looking at the Bible. They don't care that you may be the greatest evangelist this side of the Mississippi River. They don't care that you've preached to 5,000, or they don't care what you've done. Until you start meeting their needs, you're not going to be effective. And how do you meet your needs? And I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to show you throughout this sermon, I hope. So it starts with compassion. Start with compassion. Number two, we must keep the right company. Starts with compassion, but you must keep the right company. I remember when our girls was raising up, growing up, and we still got one younger, but they're all pretty older. And I was sitting in the restaurant last night thinking about what a blessing it is being able to sit down and eat without having to feed little babies. Those of y'all that's got them know what I'm talking about. And they're sweet and they're wonderful and I love them, but bless God, I don't miss that not being able to eat. Being able to, when we first got married, boy, I get on all kinds of stuff preaching. If y'all never been before, you're going to learn something.
You have to lie.
I ain't going to lie. We just had Amberly, and we'd go eat, and they aggravate me because I love barbecue. I love barbecue, and I love to eat it, and Brad's barbecue is, I've got off barbecue there now, and I went to fish. But anyway, we used to go there, and we'd have to watch Amberly while we eat, and it was just terrible to have to do that thing. And much as I love her, it would get on my nerves. Y'all be honest, you the same way. But this lady that owned the place, she would come and she would hold Amberly while we eat. And listen, that still, and you know what I saw it as? I saw it as an act of compassion. She cared enough about us that she was willing just to hold that baby, not ever meaning what a difference she made in our lives, giving us just a little bit of time that we could simply sit and eat. But you must listen. I don't know how I got off on that about company, but it was good. You got to keep the right company. You listen. John chapter 6, verse 2 says, a great multitude followed him. A great multitude followed him. And this lad, I can imagine him wanting to be part of the multitude. We know how even today that people begin following things because somebody starts a trend, don't they? These young people sitting here, Abby's got a great big hole in her pants. Right in the knee. And listen, we don't have a lot of money, but we could probably buy better than that. You know why she wants that? Because somebody else has got it. And somebody else has got it. So this young lad probably come to his mother this morning and said, hey, Mama, I want to go follow this man named Jesus. I want to go follow this man named Jesus. And his mother saw, I believe, what a great man he was and that he truly was the Messiah. And she said, okay, son, I'm all for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you something to go with you. And handed him his lunch. Handed his lunch. And here he was keeping great company as these people followed Jesus. So today I want to ask you, what kind of company are you keeping? Are you with a multitude that's following the Lord? Are you over here with this group who cares nothing about him? So here the great multitude begin following him. And the young man, I can just see him this morning, Terry. You see, his lunch was able to be noticed in thousands of people. The Bible writers who are Bible scholars who study this stuff more than I do say there was possibly 12,000 people at this feeding. This scripture just says men. Said there was probably women and children, probably numbered 12,000 people was here. And this young lad who had this little bit of lunch, he was noticed by everybody out of this group. So you know what that tells me is this young man must have been close to the Lord. He must have been up near the front of them thousands, bless God, so he could be noticed. And then now listen, as we follow and we keep great company, where are we at? Are we back here in the back, just in the back scenes, or do we care enough to want to learn enough to be up here next to where the Lord is? Yeah. Terry teaches us on Wednesday nights. A great teacher he is. You need to come hear him sometime. But Terry told us that they say regular church attendance in today's times is once every 6 weeks. When you see the statistics, it's written down about average church attendance. As people attend church regularly, it's went from one time a week to one time every 6 weeks. That's a regular church attendee. And they're wondering why in the world is things happening in the world. Why they are. Listen, church, I'll tell you this, and you hear me preach it all the time, and I will continue to preach it, that so goes the church, so goes the world. As the church loses compassion, the world loses compassion. As the church loses focus on prayer, the nation begins going downhill. Every time in history that the people got away from God, the nations suffer. It's all the church. Why we're at where we're at in 2019, it's the church's fault. You telling me that we're there because our government can't agree and it's been shut down for 21 days? You tell me that's because of church. I sure am. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. It's because godly people hadn't thought enough to put godly men and women in office. And because of that, we got a group in there that look like a bunch of hooligans that can't agree on anything and they won't go forward. And it all goes back to the church has left God. Keep good company. Keep good company. Thousands of people, but yet this young man's lunch was noticed. And I don't believe he was sitting there going, hey, look at me. I believe he was close enough that Simon Peter's brother said, hey, I see a little boy right there with a bag. There's a little boy up near the front that's got a bag. And boy, he looks like he may be one who'd want to give it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us something. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as much more as we see the day approaching. Why do you need to assemble yourselves together? We draw strength from this time. Hey, if you out of church, you know what happens? You become weaker. You out of church another week, you become weaker. You miss two or three Sundays, you know what? You become weaker. And before long, bless God, you're out of church. You have no desire for God. You have no desire for God's people. And you're out there, you're in a condition that you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to see nobody from the church. And the last thing you want is me to call you. Oh, you don't want me to text you. You don't want you anywhere around me. I have been there. I know exactly what you're going through. And if I wasn't what I am today, I probably would be in your same situation. But listen, we better keep the right company. It's important that you attend church. It's important you get involved in church. If you are not involved in church, you cannot give God what you have. I promise you one thing that's just common sense. That little boy could not have gave his lunch if he had stayed at home. Wouldn't have been possible. His little bitty lunch within 5 loaves and 2 fish couldn't have been given to Jesus if he had stayed in the house. He could have stayed at home and played Nintendo. He could have stayed at home and been on the computer, all these things. But no, he saw a necessity to follow with the multitudes, to be near to the Savior. So he kept good company. We must keep right company. Number 3, the contribution. I want you to look at that. This is in verse 9. There's lad here. Again, we no name. But there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? I began thinking about there's got to be a significance behind these loaves and the fish. It wasn't just so happened that they mentioned what it was. If God didn't saw that, God didn't see that this was a necessity to mention the bread and the fish, he would have said, there's a young boy here with some food. There's a young boy here with something for him to eat. There's a young boy here with victuals or different things the Bible calls them. Or there's a young boy here that's got something for the people to eat. It would have been something like that. But God saw fit that we know that it was bread and fish. Why do you think it was bread? If you go all the way back to the Luke where we just passed the Christmas season and it talks about Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Anybody know what that means? It means a house of bread. And listen, who was born in the house of bread was the bread of life. And listen, what else? What did this little boy have to offer all these thousands of people? Bless God, he had the bread. And listen, church, what do you have to offer a lost and a dying millions of people in this world today? If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have the bread of life to offer them. No, it's not you, but it's Jesus. You have Jesus to offer a lost and a dying world. What is it among so many? Oh, it's everything. That's what it is. What is the bread of life among millions of people who are dying and going to hell? What is my little witness today? I'll tell you what it is. It's the reason I'm here today. It's the reason you're here today. Is somebody somewhere preached or told you about Jesus. Somebody offered you the bread of life. And if nobody else did, God did in His Word. He offered you. The Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith and we're saved by the hearing of the Word of God. And it says, how can you hear the Word of God if there's no preacher? And how can you preach except you sent? God puts people in your right place at the right time, saying the right words. You have the bread of life. The bread of life is still good enough. We've saw 2 young people come to the Lord in the last several weeks. And it amazes me. As I sat in the office the other day with Brady, and we began explaining to him the gospel. I gave him a bookmark with a Roman road on it. It simply tells us that we're all sinners. And that the sin has a debt that has to be paid. And the only way it can be paid is with the blood of Jesus. It's the only sufficient payment for that sin is the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, we must pay it with our life, which is eternal separation from God. And we all know nobody wants that. We don't desire to see nobody want that. But as I sat there and we asked Brady, he said, Brady, I said, I can't pray for you. I don't believe in this repeat after me. I believe in you getting earnest with God and praying. And that he did. And he said he asked Jesus to save him. And bless God, it showed me something, just how simple it is. And my friend, there's nothing more simple in our diet than bread. Now these people on low carb diets will tell you it's the devil. But the bread of life is wonderful. Bread is a very simple staple in our diet. At some point of the day, even if you're low carbon, you come across something with bread. You cannot hardly get away from it. It's bread. And as you're out in life, especially in where we live, and thank God for this, at some point in the day, you're going to run across a godly person. At some point in the day, you're going to run across somebody who knows the bread of life. You're going to come across somebody who's going to present you possibly with the bread of life. They may do it through you simply. I've been around people for 5 minutes, and I could tell in my heart that there was a Christian. I tell my heart they love Jesus. Been around 5 minutes, hadn't said anything, but they made an impression against my life. You have too. You run across people who has the bread of life. So the first contribution he had was the bread. The next, I want you to look at the fish. I've studied and studied, and I thought, surely it must be, this must be why the Christian symbol is a fish. Surely this must be it. No. That come up with in the Greek times. That was done where they could know who was Christians. That was their secret sign, if you will, about who was Christians and who wasn't in the times way back yonder. That's old. That's where it come up with. So it has nothing to do with this story, really. So what did the fish mean? This is what I believe. There's no complete, people have different ideas, but this is what I come up with, and you can study out for yourself. But I believe he gave him fish to show us that not only, Terry, do I have the bread of life to offer people, but as I begin growing in Christ, I begin having the meat to offer them also. I have the meat to offer. What I mean? I mean, you. Some of you are to be teachers. Some of you are to be preachers. Some of you are to be evangelists, the Bible says. Some are to be witnesses and different things. We all have something different, but once we have given out the bread of life to everybody, each one of us also in our Christian life possess some meat we can pass down. Why do you think God allows you to learn so you can give it to somebody else? Because one of these days you're leaving, you're going home to glory. Your knowledge and all you've learned is not staying here. But the way it does stay here is you pass it down in a classroom. You pass it down to your students. They pass it down to somebody else. And as a process of time goes on, the Word of God is taught. And listen, the thing that's happened in churches is probably on a level maybe even bigger than not giving out the bread of life, is we are no longer making disciples. We get them saved, such as these two young ones. We like put it on Facebook. We brag about it. Had two saved. We're doing all this great thing. Come New Harmony, see how great we are. We haven't done that. We better not do that. But listen, so many places do. We want to brag about it and do all this. We set them over to the side thinking they're saved, and they are. And they're in a good condition, and we never ever disciple them. We never give them the meat, and they sit there 50 years, still babies, still having milk, never moved on to meat. God has placed people. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I go to Bible college every week, and I realize how much I don't know. Men there are way more brilliant than I. Men above them, same way. Brother Derek could tell you, he's in Luther Rice. He is way more advanced in education than I am. I can learn a lot from him. He learns a lot from people above him. The meat keeps getting passed. God provides different opportunities for different people. I don't have the same lunch he has. You don't have the same lunch I have. But my friend, you've been given two contributions you can give back. The bread of life. If you yourself have had a desire to learn the Word of God, you have the meat available for people. Y'all hear me preach this all the time, our regulars. We sit in churches every single day. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about New Harmony. I'm talking about churches in the South and everywhere across our land with people who's been saved for 50 years. People who's been baptized and got saved, got baptized, joined the church, been there, and have never, ever contributed a single thing. I'm not being mean. I'm being truthful. Have never put their lunch to work for God. Have never said, Lord, here's my lunch. This is all the contribution I have. Give me an opportunity to give out the bread of life. Give me an opportunity to give out the meat to those who are young and coming up and are still on the bottles. Father, give me an opportunity to do that. Does anybody know what happens if you keep your lunch to yourself? What happens if you never use the lunch? Spoils, don't it? Goes bad. It goes bad. There's Christians all across our land who has hoarded up their lunch, never given it out, never given it out to anybody. What would have happened? We don't know, but let's think about. Jesus would have fed these people anyway. Some way it would have happened. He was testing the disciples here to see what they would do. The scripture I read you said he himself knew what he would do. He knew the young boy was there. He knew the young boy was going to have the fish. This young boy didn't surprise Jesus. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He is before the world began. He knew this little lad would be there this day. Knew his fish. He placed the fish. This gets good. He even placed those fish in a stream for that little boy to catch. Amen. To bring to that lunch that day. He provided the barley that would be made into loaves for this young boy to bring this day. What would have happened? The little boy would have said, "Nope, this is mine. Mama fixed it for me, and you're not getting it. This is mine. My father gave it to me." Maybe everybody said his mother packed it. She probably did, but it could be possible his father packed it. We don't know who packed the lunch. Bottom line was he had a lunch. We don't know. Let me think about this also. When them parents packed his lunch that day, they knew what he needed to sustain his life. When God, the Bible tells me that before I ever was my mother's womb, that God fashioned me. God made me. He put the ability in me to do what it is that God's called me to do. He put the desire in me to do what it is. Now listen, I can hinder that. I can mar it with earthly sin. I can get so caught up in these things that what God has for me to do can get blocked. But when God fashioned me, His perfect will for my life, He provided everything inside of me I needed. He packed my lunch, to say, of everything I needed to sustain me through this life. While I was here, He made it right. This mother, let's say she packed his lunch. She knew exactly what this young man needed to live. Do you not think God knew exactly what you needed? You see, so many people, when they deal with a call to preach or a call to teach or a call to do anything for God, they'll always begin with, "I can't. I used it." I've told y'all this 100 times. "I used it. I can't. God, I can't do that. I can't even order the drive-thru. I'm so shy, I won't even talk to a stranger, God. There's no way I can stand and preach your word. There's no way. I can't." And all along, he was saying, "Oh, yes, you can. Because when I created you, and I've never made a mistake, I put this in you. Before you, the world was ever known, I put this inside of you. I have packed exactly what you need. And it's enough. It may not be as much as he has." And have you ever thought about this? Of 12,000 people, probably, let's say that number, you think this young man was the only one who had lunch that day? No. There were some more lunches there. This young man was the only one willing to give, that we read about, his lunch. What's the conclusion? All we can do, all we can give is what we have. You can't make no more. You can't make any less. All you can give is what you have and put it in the hands of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, and we're about to close. John 6, 11 through 13. "And Jesus took the loaves. The little boy gave out the bread of life. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would." These people were not used to eating all they could eat. They was used to eating enough to survive. But my friend, when Jesus comes in, you get all you need. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I believe the little boy, this ain't said in there, but I like to think about things on my way. And my way don't mean nothing. You go by the word of God. You don't go by my way. I believe he took home a doggy bag to his mom and daddy. She said, "Wait a minute. Did you eat?" "Oh yeah, Mama, I eat." "And that ain't all. My lunch fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children." "Well, how in the world do you have enough to bring home? How do you have enough to still have some left over and you're full?" His mom, all I can tell you is Jesus touched it. Jesus touched it. It says, when he put the loaves, he handed the loaves to him. Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. What I'm telling you today, my friend, is it's not about your lunch. It's not about what you have, it's about who touches it. You have something. You have something to offer back to an almighty God. Why in the world will you keep it to yourself? This little boy, we never know his name. Although I believe when we get to glory, we'll be able to see him. I believe we'll be able to see him, know who he is. This is the young man that gave his lunch. And look around you. These are the ones that was fed. No, all of them spiritually didn't come to Jesus that day, because you read on, some of the multitude left him because of hard sayings. But through all eternity, we'll be seeing people that came to the Lord through this little boy's lunch. Because those that were truly saved that day began telling this one, began giving out their bread. And the bread's been given down for 2,000 years. And here we are at New Harmony Baptist Church in January of 2019, and the bread is still available. It's still lasting. It's still enough. Hey, the basket's still full. Give it out. There's enough for everybody. You ain't going to run out. I think sometimes we think that God's out of business. We think things is going wrong. God's out of business. There's nothing to give. My friend, I want to tell you today, if you get one thing out of this message, you give what God has given you, you provide it back to Him, you offer it back to Him, and I promise you, according to the Word of God, He will bless it, and you'll see a great multiplication. This is not prosperity preaching. I'm not telling you to go out and give $40 and it's going to come back. I'm telling you that you give what God has given you. You give back. And God will bless this thing. God will begin touching it. And God will begin using it. This is a part of the service where I don't know hearts, I don't know minds. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know why God sends these messages and concession to. I don't know who's dealing with what. All I know is when He impresses something upon my heart, I try to preach it. A lot of times it don't line up with what's going on, but that's what I try to do. I had a message this week, by the way, to get off of this. I thought, Lord, they've heard enough about what they have. They're ready to move on. And I was in Tallapoosa the other morning. I was coming home, and the man on the radio began talking. And when he got to that about the two loaves and two fishes, the thought just hit my mind. Give what you have. Give what you have, and I'll bless it. So I had to take my little message and do away with it. And I began studying what God would put on my heart. And today it's been delivered unto you. You may be here, and you may have never in your life, in your Christian life, you may have never handed out the bread to anybody else. You may have never offered this gift. You may have never told anybody about Jesus. You may have never told anybody that Jesus will save. Today I encourage you, as you go out of these doors, you offer that bread to somebody. And you may be in this church, you may have been here for all these years, and you have great knowledge that nobody even knows about because you've hoarded it up. You've got the fish. You've got the meat. I encourage you to give that meat to those around you. Offer that meat. Offer that what God's taught you to others. You have a contribution. Each one of us have a contribution, or God would not have kept us here at this time. We get to make a choice. That young lad that was there, as he was there and he heard Jesus say, sit down. Heard him tell him, tell the disciples to sit down. At that point, I believe he knew what was going on. And he began tugging his heart. You remember the day that God was calling you to do something. Boy, how that stomach ties in knots and how the heart gets beating fast. I believe he's sitting there arguing amongst himself. Well, if I give it, I won't have nothing. If I give it, I won't have none. But I know I need to give it. But if I give it, I won't have no lunch. But I don't know what to do. And then that still small voice says, just give it. I can see him handing it to Andrew, saying, it ain't much. This is what Mama gave me. See what you can do with it. You see, the disciples, they didn't know what they was going to do. They said, we only have 200 pennies. And it ain't going to buy enough bread to feed thousands of people. There just ain't no sense to start it. Jesus all along knew the problem was already solved. He was just wanting to test them to see what they would do. How about you this morning? Are you willing? Are you willing to give what God has given you? That ability, that talent, that learning, whatever it is, are you willing to offer it back to Jesus? Put it in His hands and see what He can do. You say, well, my little bit won't make a difference. I just preached to you for about 30 minutes, and you read you a scripture, which is way more preaching than I can do, about a little boy who gave everything he had, and 5,000 at least was fed, probably 12,000. I promise you, you got something. We'll get Pat to come forth and play. If everyone would please stand. Will you hand him your lunch? Will you give him your bag? Just simply say, Lord, this is what I've got. You packed it. You built inside of me what you need. I remember when I was dealing with this call, I began thinking, well, I don't know if I can preach at all, but if I can, will he ever use me as he did Billy Graham, or will he ever use me as he did does Charles Stanley or some of these other men, we do this? And the answer to that question is probably not. Probably not. It looks like he probably has a plan for me to be in small places. But listen, I'm fine with that. It's like he has a plan for me to plant seeds or water or whatever it is, and I'm fine with that. But all I'm trying to do is give him what I have. That's all I can do. I can't make myself something that's not. I can't put in me something that's not. But I have what he's put there, and I can offer it back. Will you do the same this morning? Will you come to the Lord and hand him what you have? If you will, they could be the next Billy Graham in here. I don't know. They could be the next Charles Stanley in here. I don't know. They could be somebody greater than them in this place because they offer what they have and Jesus breathes on it. He blesses it. If you would come today and ask him, maybe you don't want to come up here. It's a great place to come, but maybe that's not for you. Although it's been a good place for people through hundreds of years, but if you just won't, right where you are, will you give him what you got? Will you in your heart of hearts say, Lord, here's what I've got to offer. Will you bless it? And by the way, this was a young lad. In this day, the young people was probably looked upon as they was in my day. I remember when I first started preaching, I went to a place and there was people who wouldn't give me a chance because I was younger. Although I wasn't that young, I just was like Derek. Me and Derek looked young. Y'all can say amen. I was 33 years old. Had some say I was too young. Had one church tell me I couldn't pastor because I had never pastored. That didn't make any sense. Somebody got to start somewhere. You're never too young, you're never too old to give God your lunch. Will you do it today?